Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dr. Sophie to our weekly podcast. Hope you're all doing fine. This week, we are talking about something that all of us need to have better understanding and be able to navigate better. But it's also a little uncomfortable, but we're going to dive right into it today. We're going to be talking to an expert today about how to talk to your children about sex. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dr. Sophie. Today, we're going to be talking about talking to your children about sex with a pretty well-known expert who's written a great book about it, so he'll be able to give us a lot of information. We're going to look at things like, why is it important to talk to your children about sex? Duh, I think we need to understand that, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory. What changes do parents really face today? Because it's a tough world to be talking about sex with our kids, especially with the internet. And how can parents ease their own anxiety about talking about sex? Because that's the biggest barrier most of the time. And then again, I'm going to give you those 4 points I think are important for you to take away. 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. Each caller will receive a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our guest expert. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dr. Sophie. Today, we're going to be talking about talking to your children about sex with a pretty well-known expert who's written a great book about it, so he'll be able to give us a lot of information. We're going to look at things like, why is it important to talk to your children about sex? Duh, I think we need to understand that, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory. What changes do parents really face today? Because it's a tough world to be talking about sex with our kids, especially with the internet. And how can parents ease their own anxiety about talking about sex? Because that's the biggest barrier most of the time. And then again, I'm going to give you those 4 points I think are important for you to take away. 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. Each caller will receive a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our guest expert. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Joining me is Dr. Cherban, Dr. John Cherban. He is a PhD, serves as a lecturer in psychology at the Harvard Medical School at the Cambridge Hospital. He's in private practice in Massachusetts and has a lot of journals and a lot of writings. But he has a book that's really great that is called How to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. He'll be telling us a little bit about that and where to find it later on. But we're going to be talking about how to have that talk with our children. Dr. Cherban, you with us?
I sure am.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, that's a subject I wasn't planning to talk about. Oh, what are we going to talk about?
It should be your favorite one.
Well, probably should be, but I was going to talk about my topic here.
Well, you will.
Okay.
So what do you do? Like, what's your everyday? You're in private practice?
Right. I do teaching, research, private practice. Father of 4 kids who are pretty much launched. You know, they're in college and off and running.
Having sex,
and,
I guess, right?
Good life. Mm-hmm.
They're having sex, I guess.
I hope not.
Why? Why?
Well, maybe that should be our subject, huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
Why you don't like to talk about yourself and why your kids shouldn't have sex. They're your two.
Well, I think it may be directly related to our topic. I think it has to do with our values, you know, and like how you perceive yourself. So, I mean, just being sexual is not what I would see as what I would want my kids to be engaged in.
So I get that. So tell me more about that. Like, what does that mean? Like, not being sexual, like, you know.
Just being sexual as if they're, like, going to the movies. You know, I think that the issue of values and direction are critical, and I think that's why I wrote this book on how to talk to your kids about sex, because I think parents have been removed from the equation. So I think that children are often taking a lot of different suggestions from society about what is adequate or how to be fulfilled, and I don't know if just being part of the sexualization of culture is the answer.
Right. Oh, I agree. So tell me, like, is there a certain age that parents should begin this kind of either verbal, nonverbal dialogue?
Well, I think that the conversation begins at the very beginning, and I think it's at birth, and I think it is in the way in which we open ourselves up to talk about sexuality or to deal with our bodies. So I think with our babies, you know, it's pretty concrete in terms of just the touching and the communicating and the ease and the comfort. You know, so, you know, I think it occurs on several levels. It's physical. I think it's emotional. It's certainly social, relational, and I also think it's spiritual. I think that's probably the piece that you were getting regarding my own values around how I would want my children to behave, or at least I would want them to take conscientiousness around their behavior. It's kind of interesting, in the study of over 50,000 people, or basically young adults and adults, really, who were responding to a survey that we did for this book, more than half of them in the age group between 16 and 18 said that they would have wanted their parents to speak more with them about the emotional side of sex and the guidance and the judgments of sex than they would simply about providing information about contraception and sexually transmitted illness or infection. And I think many parents don't even get that far, you know, in a conversation. But
absolutely. Yeah. So do you think that when you say it's the conversation or whatever we tell our kids should have an emotional aspect to it so that they understand there's that piece to sex. Is there an intellectual part to it as well, or do you consider that under the umbrella of the emotional stuff?
An intellectual, do I consider the intellectual part of the emotional? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Is there an intellectual part to
it? Well, I think there's information, you know, so I think that the question, you know, I think particularly in our own culture is that we have a situation where, you know, if we were to compare our times with, let's say, 25 years ago, it's very fashionable today to possibly be sexually provocative, even with clothing and children, I mean, young kids. And, you know, that would have been a problem, let's say, you know, 25 years ago, because that would have been considered inappropriate. But I think our children are brought in not only with just going to the mall, but, you know, their media, their internet, whatever, all kinds of, just turning on the television, all kinds of sexualized activities, and the issue of making judgments around. So when you say intellectual or emotional, I think that part is the piece that's often missing. So I think that's where I feel parents need to reclaim their role as guide, you know, and I think that children, certainly in the study we did, which was a general study, they get, you know, kids get the bump and grind, they get sex because that message is everywhere, but where they're needing help in is the judgment area, and it's around their feelings of body image, their own sense of their values, and I think you're correct as well with reference to, let's say, if you're calling that intellectual, like the facts of life, and not putting the cart before the horse, but taking responsibility, you know, I think, for sexual behavior. So I think when you're talking about information, I think it's about explaining what is sexuality, and it's not only obviously about procreation, it's about pleasure, it's about identity formation. It's about stress release. It's about intimacy. It's about attraction. You know, it's a whole range of issues which speak to our whole person. And I think parents need to tune into that and to hear that. So I think listening and establishing the trust and the relationship is the part where, you know, coming and being available for our children around their questions would be the most critical piece.
And you say that the judgment part is the most missing piece of today's conversation.
I think so, yeah.
And why? How do you think we got to that place?
Well, I think parents have been maybe not addressing these issues for a lot of reasons. I think people have anxiety and understandable anxiety about sexuality because it, you know, taps into our own sometimes guilt, sometimes our own vulnerability, our own uncertainty. And I think that those are the kinds of conversations that are critical for parents to have with their kids, to basically admit that piece and to admit that part about themselves and not feel like they have to be some kind of sage with all the answers. But they need to also walk with them around addressing that part, because that's the edge where kids do feel uncertainty, anxiety, and often can make errors where they're feeling uncomfortable with themselves and not fine. So they're not sure about what the real standard is. I think there are messages in society that are somewhat vivid, but actually also it's a double-edged sword. I think they're also unclear. So, you know, men who are sometimes accused of really have indeed violated women in terms of rape, you know, might say they thought no meant yes or something like that. So the messages are unclear. So the question is, where do we unpack the images or the understandings, or what? How do we communicate it? And I think about it, and I think that it really is with the parent in those very personal, intimate places that the best kind of work can occur. So no one knows the child like the parent,
right?
And so, the parents are often relegating sex education to sex ed classes, and I'm not critical of that. Clearly, there's a lot of information going on there, but kids, you know, screw around in those classes as well, and that's maybe part of the game of it. I know, and it's like they're listening and not listening at the same time. But is that just information that they need to glean, or is it really about their own personal uncertainty, their own personal emotions and feelings? And it's really both. It's all of that.
And so the bottom line is, parents need to be having these dialogues, but being real. And if they're anxious about it, it's okay to be anxious about it.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely fine. And it's okay not to know the answer. And it's but the most important point is to convey that I care about you, and that this is a trusting relationship, and to really convey that, not with just words like I love you, but to demonstrate it and to really be there for the kids when they need them most. And often the kids need them most around these topics because they are uncertain.
And so saying to them that I care about you is behaving it as well. But it's also in that relationship of behavior and showing them and telling them you care, you're demonstrating what they should be doing in a sexual relationship.
Well, demonstrating what they should be doing. I mean, I think you're trying to tune into what is the real question. Like, what is the real need? I think we have a sense of what children generally feel and need around sexuality throughout the various stages of child development. But each child is quite unique. So how they're really putting it together, and sexuality is very complex. So, I mean, we don't just have like a quick handbook and give them the answers and this is it. That just doesn't work. It's what is this child's real question? You know, is it about my body? Is my body okay? Am I okay? Or is there an uncertainty about that? Or, you know, and some kids, you know, they kind of come out of the womb and you could bounce them against the wall and they don't feel anything. And then other kids, they are hyper attuned. Yeah. Exactly.
And so it's really parents who are listening should really zone into what their specific needs are of that child.
Right. And I think it's also recognizing in a general sense, and I think that's what I did in the book, is laying out what normal expectations around these topics are for age groups so that parents are aware. You know, if your child is not social, if there is some apprehension around body issues, you know, so that you can open up these topics and quite naturally bring them forward. And oftentimes it's the elephant in the room, you know, everyone's talking about it, but not talking about it.
Right. So what do we tell parents who, like, you know, if they're talking about body images, or a child says, well, you know, I think that I don't like this about myself, my body, and so I'm embarrassed, and a parent has similar or more issues about their own body, should parents open up about that? Should they go get their own kind of help before they start a dialogue? What would you recommend?
Well, I think that's a good question. You know, I think that, you know, having dread, you know, in that way, you know, or a lot of anxiety might be something that the parents would have to confront. And I think that's one of the advantages of parenting. You know, sometimes we, through our parenting, we realize where we have soft edges or soft parts. And I think that, you know, but it makes sense that parents might have a difficulty and indeed feel reluctant to talk about sex because of their own embarrassment and their own difficulty with the subject. And oftentimes we know, certainly psychologists, that many parents are overcompensating for when they undershot and overshot, you know. So it's like, if I made these mistakes, I want my kids to make them. And if I didn't get out there and, you know, get every sport, I want my kid to do all the sports, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that piece of, you know, kind of what we call, and again, therapy is the transference stuff, you know, we have to be on top of. But they also worry that they're all conveying the wrong information. So again, another reason for writing the book was to articulate what is the kind of age-appropriate information for kids and what kinds of issues should be brought up and in what stage, you know, and that it you know, that a father not understanding menstruation or a mother not understanding that a boy, you know, an 11-year or 12-year-old might have a wet dream is something that the kid needs to be freed up from, that indeed dads know about menstruation and moms know about wet dreams, you know, things like that. And then really having letting that stuff be, if you will, on the table, but of course respectfully so. And that's the way you would want to be, again, watching that communication. So it's on the one hand bringing material to the table, but also recognizing and being sensitive to how your child is responding to the information.
So, okay, so is there a magic age that, you know, parents should really be critically aware of? Like, this is the time I got to talk because they're going to start looking around or somebody's going to come to them and they're not going to be prepared?
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally think, you know, that, you know, we're sexual beings from, you know, the beginning. So, you know, we know from studies that little, you know, babies in utero touch themselves and probably find pleasure, and that will be the reinforcement for that behavior. So we know that children, little infants, do these kinds of things. So recognizing that we're always sexual, but again, it's an issue of what is, let's say, normative for a stage. Now, the way I talk about it, because the biggest issue, you know, it's like the big sex talk, which, of course, most people know should never be a big sex talk, you know, but it's really about...
Why should it never why should it never be the big sex talk?
Well, it because it should just be
a
just communicating
talk
about issues, yeah, as they come up, talking about things on television. Clearly, there are points at which, and these are at specific ages, when you want to bring material, as I said, like before them, so that they can be aware of issues that may be on the horizon. So I would probably suggest to be a little bit ahead of the game rather than behind the game, you know, so it's like, you know, a father coming and telling, you know, when I'm thinking about having the talk with my son about sex and he's 14, you know, I mean, probably the son has been around the block a few times on this subject, you know, for sure. And, you know, the father is behind it. So, you know, getting, you know, the pre-adolescent conversation, you know, that would be that so-called big sex talk time, you know, and that, you know, I would say that you would do that between 9 and 11 and hear, you know, issues of, you know, gender and stereotypes and boundaries and, you know, puberty and really getting into the whole actual event of sex and what is sex and what is sexual intercourse. And I think it's that subject that oftentimes parents feel most apprehensive about. But if it's something that they recognize and the child has learned from their parents' behavior that this is part of life, and of course children know this, it's we that we construct these ideas about it. I mean, parents bring their children to the zoo at, you know, 4, 2, and 3, and the kids watch the
animals
having intercourse, you know, so, you know, and it's like not a big surprise, but somehow when it becomes the human process again, that's the intimidation or the anxiety that the parents may be feeling that gets played out.
Right. Okay. So I want to read you, or I want to read you what an email we just got in.
Sure.
This is Stephen from Seattle, Washington. He's asking, I know I need to talk to my son about sex, but how much am I supposed to tell him? Just the basics? I'm not sure. He's 10 years old, so how in-depth should I go?
Right. So I think that was pretty close to what, you know, the age, the group that I began speaking about. So he says his son. So, you know, we did a show, this was with Dr. Phil, I think, and one couple came in and their little boy had been looking at some sexual material, and you know, they made it, you know, there was a very religious perspective on it that like somehow this is wrong, and the little boy went and he finally got on the internet, and over the next few years when he was a few months when he was visiting his grandmother, had gotten onto some very heavy, you know, internet sites, and the parents really sat on him. Well, he may indeed have been exploring and trying to understand what, you know, who knows what those motives were, but I mean, to just, again, use that kind of own the judgment of the adult and, you know, kind of interpret that or to see it as wrong and to convey that as it indeed this particular couple did was probably squashing the kid. And really communicating either he's bad or we can't deal with the subject. So going back to your question, you know, I think the expectations around this area or at this time, you know, like if this man is asking about his son, is that sex indeed, I would you know, this would be the time when you're trying to say it's not just about procreation. It really talking about what sex is about. So it really is kind of fleshing this thing out that it is physical. It is so, and sometimes we feel pleasure and being sexual and talking about the formations and that might take for this young boy as his life is evolving. And speaking about attraction and that sometimes we find someone attractive or not attractive and his own hygiene and how he's managing that and, you know, moving into the topic of intimacy that, you know, the 9-year-old boy is still on that latency place and, you know, he's more excited about the baseball or the football than he would be about loving somebody, you know.
Maybe your child, my child, somebody's child comes to them and they're 16 or 18. Is it okay to just have sex with somebody if I don't have an emotional connection to them and I just want to have sex?
Right. So I think this is where that's where we kind of started out when you kind of shocked me into having to talk about my position on my children.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. But I think this is where your values do come into play. So I think that our children are very valuable for us because they have us reevaluate our values. Like, what do we believe about these things and where are we coming from? And then not just to really simply state what that is in kind of a dogmatic way or an authoritative way, or this is the truth, unless that's what we believe, but it really is an opportunity to discuss it, to look at the reasoning of it, to explain why we hold these values or why our tradition or whatever that is valuable, and to find out if that resonates with the kid. Does this make sense? They might say, well, I don't agree. You know, I don't know what they're going to say. But I think at that age, like you say, at 16, indeed, parents will be coming to that with different questions based on their own principles.
Right.
But I think there is a place for our principles, and I think the question for us again is: do we live the principles, or we just kind of play that out in this particular role? So I think it's an opportunity for us to integrate that.
Yep, I want to play you a voicemail. Hang on, then I'll let you go.
Hey, Dr. Sophie, listen. My wife and I sent our daughter to a real good school, and I know she's getting sex ed this year. Is it necessary for us to talk about sex? I mean, aren't teachers talking to her about that? Aren't they better suited to talk about it in an educational way? I'd really appreciate a response. All right, thanks.
That's a great question. And I think that the teachers are trained to talk about it, but they, of course, that takes different formations depending on the school district and what the messages are. I remember, parent contacting me because his fifth grade daughter was sitting with bananas and putting, condoms on them. And he was just like outraged, but it was like what the school system was doing. And then he communicated that, this was against his principles and values. But then the girl was ostracized by the woman who was teaching the sex ed course and kind of put down, you know. And so I think, you know, these are very complicated subjects.
Yes,
but,
they are.
I think that, you know, just letting it go into the hands of the authorities, I think we have to really look at it. So who are the authorities? I think it's education. So it comes up in the schools, and the schools are trying to respond to a need, obviously, because parents aren't doing the job. I think physicians, particularly pediatricians, are doing a superb job in just trying to lay out depending, of course, on your pediatrician, but about the physical and the medical implications of the sexuality, but also the emotional.
But there's no.
And I think certainly religious, leaders are addressing these issues. But the parents, and that's where I come back to that, and the answer to this Miller's question, no one could do it like you.
Exactly.
Because you are in the position to integrate it. Because these people are coming from positions of authority or reading out of a paper of an academic society, and they're kind of saying what the party line is or what the current social line is. But what do you want to convey? What do you want to impart to your child?
Exactly.
And
it all
that's
ends with
where
the parent.
It brings you to kind of carry some responsibility and also to, bring yourself to the questions and really try to see if you're making authentic contact.
Got it. Dr. Cherban, thank you so much. So where do we find you? Where do we find this wonderful book so we can get it out there for you and we can push
it
for you?
Well, it's called How to Talk with Your Kids About Sex.
Okay.
And helping your children basically develop a positive, healthy sexual attitude, sex, and relationships.
Got it. And where can we buy it? Online?
Oh, Amazon, all the bookstores would have it, or at least it would potentially be available.
Okay. And your website, in case our listeners need to reach out to you?
It's drcherban.com.
Dr. Hepburn.com. All right. Thank you very much. Stay warm and whatever you're doing up in Massachusetts.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was our guest expert, Dr. John Sherbin, who was giving us all of the wonderful insight and information to take away on how to talk to our children about sex. So I think there are four important things we should take away from this. And the first one is that we need to really be aware as parents that the conversation about sex begins, as Dr. Sherbin said, at birth. It's the way that we feel about our own sexuality. It is the way that we handle our children and we touch our children and hold them and cuddle them and kiss them. It's an intellectual, it's a spiritual, and it's an emotional conversation that begins at birth. So that's very important to know because it starts on day one. The second thing that's very important for you to take away is that in the bigger picture of when we're talking to our children about sex or they come to us, the real issue that we need to come out of that conversation with is what is the real question our child is asking us. Is our child asking us something underneath and disguised about their own self-esteem, about their own body image, about the way they feel in general? Do they have an issue that is covered up by something else? So it's really getting and drilling down to the real core issue that our children are asking about. So in that whole conversation and equation, judgment is often missing for parents where they're not making a good judgment call about what it is that their child is asking them. So drill it down and get to that core issue because that's what it's all about. I think the third thing that's very important for us to take away from today's discussion is what do we do as far as when we talk to our children about the overall topic about sex and about really how we integrate sex and intimacy. So how we see it ourselves, how we value sex, how we value intimacy, and how they should be intertwined with each other is how we are going to portray the dialogue for our children. So it's really good to do homework and know what you think and know how you feel about sex and intimacy so that the conversation you have with your child is built upon the foundation you are secure in. And then the fourth thing that I think we need to take away is that there are a lot of people out there that are going to have that talk with our children, whether it's from the school's perspective, whether it's from our doctor's perspective, whether it's a religious person in our children's lives. But the bottom line is there is nobody that can have that conversation with your child better than you, the parent. So I think it's important for us to really see that all of these players in the lives of our children add a piece to that conversation. But the bottom line is it's not going to be any better unless it comes from you. And that's the ultimate conversation. So nobody does it better than you. And I think the best way to get yourself prepared is know how you feel about it all. And then that's the best and most solid place to start to build the conversation with your child. It's an important conversation, so the earlier we start, the better. If you're uncomfortable, you got to get comfortable with it. So figure out why you're not comfortable, and then you'll be able to have that dialogue. Thank you guys, for listening. Thank you for calling in today. Emails, voicemails, they're all really good. Great questions. They stimulate a lot of good conversation. My podcasts are available on my website and on iTunes. The website is www.drsophie.com. Phone app is available in iTunes, so go to the iTunes store and check it out. Voicemail is always there for you at 1-855-767-4966. My book, you can find it. It is called Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Visit iTunes to download the full version of Andy Grammer's Keep Your Head Up. And the most important thing for me is don't forget to sweep. Thanks.